Good morning, everyone. Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending this session with the presentation of our performance for H1 2005, which we'll commence with Philippe Denery before we take your questions. Let's start off with the highlights of the last 6 months. The first big highlight, of course, is that the advertising market has apparently stabilized. The second highlight, of course, is that our audience as a whole remains high, and our multi-channel strategy has shown over the months all its relevance. On the digital side, as an extension of the four channels, we have a new milestone with the new MyTF1, and our service business is in line with expectations. As we announced, we've started changing our news cluster. We stopped printing the paper copy of Metro News, and we also made gains on the sale of our stake in Eurosport in line with our agreements, but while maintaining a partnership with Discovery. Amongst our new initiatives, there are promising developments with the digital and content, and of course, we'll be addressing this later on. Finally, the group's civil commitment remains stable with our particular involvement in diversity and climate change. About advertising then, in H1, revenue in all four free-to-air channels was up 1.7%. Second quarter was stable. You have to consider two items. The comparison basis is high because, of course, last year we had the World Football Cup at the same time, and then we had a growing footprint for our new DTT HD channels. In this context, both NT1 and HD1 had their audiences, their ratings grow dramatically, and we were able, therefore, to get more cash generation. At TF1, we maintained value, and these results confirm the relevance of our multi-channel strategy around our flagship channel, TF1. Regarding ratings, the audience share of the group was 27.8% for 4 years or more and 32% for women in charge of purchases. This performance is to be considered in light of a very specific context. First is, of course, the new DTT HD channels ramping up with the geographical coverage almost 82% of the population at 30 June 2015. These channels have had their audience shares grow 40% on women targets to reach 6.8% in H1. And then the ramping up of off-the-grid consumption at D+7 has an effect on our ratings for our programs very significantly, as was measured by MediaMath IPTV. Once this is extended to all media, i.e. tablets and mobile phones as well, well, this will produce a new type of cash generating offer. And then there's another phenomenon. This half year was marked by dramatic news developments, and that, of course, led to more business for our news channels. Then there's more investment in programs in all audiovisual groups, including public television. Plus, for TF1, the comparison basis was high in June 2014 because of the Football Cup, which had very high ratings. In this context, we are rolling out a new strategy looking specifically at commercial targets, strategic windows, and we still are well ahead with 11.5 points for TF1 next to our closest competitor. The multi-channel offer is bearing fruit. We have remarkable performances of NT1 and HD1 for high targets, growing 7% for NT1 and 31% for HD1. And for high cash-generating windows, TF1, of course, is the leader 9 nights out of 10, which shows stability over 1 year. And let's look at our multi-channel offer. As we announced, we implemented this multi-channel mechanism in January 2015, that is when our commitments with the competition authority regarding the acquisition of TF1 and NT1 in 2010 came to an end. And so we introduced cross-promotion with daily spots, which enables us to have better publicity for the group's channels and more visibility to all our programs, and therefore we can also move around rights and have editorial synergies with our channels. We have two examples, the programming on TF1 and TMC and TF1 of the handball championship for the semi-final and the final, which was very successful. And then in the fall, there's a novel programming for the ninth season of Secret Story and the launch of the season and with the launch of the season, and then weekly spots on TF1, whereas NT1 will have it on a daily basis. And, of course, you have exclusive bonuses on MyTF1. So that's the programming. And then in terms of advertising, we then brought in the advertising departments of TMC and NT1 within TF1, and so we discovered our partners whom we didn't know before that, and we were able to appreciate their energy, their effectiveness. We have we did the hard work on back office to share tools and processes, and we have a new organization. Of course, we have to stick to the rules of competition, but we can share good practices and information so as to add value for our customers. The first positive effects of the integration of the three advertising agencies are now being felt, but they will have, of course, more effect in the full year 2016. But we also have to look at multi-channel for in a digital field. And in May last, we started a brand new MyTF1. The platform was completely overhauled to offer a premium and comprehensive catalog of all four channels of the group, which means that MyTF1 is now the incontrovertible offer, because we have, of course, the flagship programs of the group, regardless of the broadcasting channel. And this is particularly positive for the digital presence of TMC, NT1, and HD1. And then we'll have exclusive content available on MyTF1 Extra, which will be open to web actors and creators. Now, our group is now the unchallenged leader of replay TV. This type of consumption is widespread amongst viewers. 60 million French users have been using this service every month, and TF1 has, on average, 8.4 million catch-uppers on a monthly basis, which increases the audience at D+7, especially on high-value profiles for advertisers. The functions of the sites are high-tech, especially with the recommendation service, what is known as responsive design, with developments that will be automatically adopted to all media as soon as we decide to do so. These developments should continue and should improve consumption of all content by more users, and MyTF1 is now a special window for advertisers, and we have reason to believe that there will be more cash generation with this digital supply. And the first numbers we have with the new MyTF1 show a ratings significantly up. And over and beyond the channels themselves, digital platforms offer new services, and we have two new such offers in H1, very successful, TFU Max, which is for kids, SVOD Youth, and TF1 Conso, which is digital coupons. And so you have the bringing together of advertising on TV and direct marketing. Let's look at our services to consumers. The digital developments is also present on TF1 video, because physical video is going down, as you know, and so the group was able to harness digital video with MyTF1 VOD, and that pay offer is available on all media, both from DSL operators, OTT, going through Chromecast, which means that TF1 Video is now the second VOD operator in France, with double-digit growth. And in H1, MyTF1 VOD launched its new label, eCinema, eFilm, which has already three new movies which do not have to be shown in theaters to be successful on VOD. Other businesses are, for service businesses, are in line in these developments. Teleshopping has been rolling out its shops and develop its catalog. TF1 Entreprise has continued its development with a strong quarter, especially with the Harry Potter exhibition, but also the international development of its collections and its parlor house, parlor games, including its own creations such as Chronobomb, which got a big prize in agility games in 2014. And then our theme channels was streamlined. We only have three channels now. The ratings are good, the quality is recognized, and the contracts were renegotiated in good conditions. TV Braze is number the first pay channel for viewers 4 years old or more, subscribing to a pay offer. And Ushuaïa and Histoire have increased their targets, at least their ratings on the core targets. And LCI still has an in-depth news analysis offer. Now let's talk about news, because I just mentioned LCI. As you announced, news is one of our priorities. News is part of our own DNA, and we have a well-known know-how in this field. And so we've decided to do everything to maintain the activity of Metro News. Of course, the print version couldn't do well. The losses were too high, even though, despite the good editorial quality. And so we made the responsible decision to go digital. But because we give up on the printed version, we can now focus on digital. Metro News started as early as 2013 its digital transition, and now has pride of place in news science, especially on mobile applications. And so, and regarding LCI, we are reapplying to the authority, to the CSA, because we are satisfied that this channel should be free to view, free to air. We have decided to give this channel a chance, and we want to be successful as entrepreneurs there, and we can see synergies between free-to-air news channels and, of course, the corresponding digital platform. And if we have this go-ahead for free-to-air, we should find an operational we should break even at least in the medium term for LCI. As Eurosport, well, of course, value creation is a priority. Eurosport is a good example. What we've accomplished with Eurosport has enabled us to develop a unique model, which proved to be extremely profitable. With Discovery, we have a sound partner, an ambitious partner. That partnership has delivered in line with expectations, many synergies, and has enabled us to step up the development of Eurosport as well as our theme channels. And so jointly, we've decided with Discovery, we felt that Discovery should be the most legitimate shareholder to enable Eurosport to pursue its growth with significant capital expenditure investment in sporting rights. And we decided to exercise a sale option for a price that had been decided at €950 million plus cash. So now the challenge today is to continue our development in digital services and content alone or in partnerships. We've taken a number of initiatives and will continue in the coming months. In regarding digital, we are emphasizing three items. Number one, the development of catalogs to meet growing demand. And so we have the replay offer plus bonuses on MyTF1. But now we are developing 100% digital contents. For instance, we have the contents of MCN Finder Studios, which is the first MCN in France, on two themes, cosmetics and cookery. And then we have other digital channels, humor channels for or male audiences or children, very successful, and these have innovative contents, and right now they were only available on YouTube, but now they will be on MyTF1 Extra with a corner dedicated to the 100% digital contents of MyTF1, and that new initiative should bring also a new audience on MyTF1. And then we're using data to ascertain our audience and demonstrate the effectiveness of our offer to advertisers, and this is at the heart of our commercial strategy, to have with this the one data offer we have for advertisers. And technologies can be there to adapt our businesses, and we're looking for possible partnerships with companies offering B2B or B2C oriented technologies. And the other part of our future development, of course, concerns content, and we've made a first significant step with the development of a novel partnership with NBC and RTL for American series, and that should be rolled out in 2016. And in France, in spite of the imperfections of the regulations, it is essential for us to develop our own formats. We're working hard at this, as well as our production subsidiaries. Now, by way of conclusion, two words about our social responsibility. In H1, TF1 continued its leadership role, always very present in terms of diversity, but we're also involved, very much involved, in the preparation of COP21. In the beginning of the year, TF1 convened its business partners, advertisers, producers, and suppliers, to a conference, a special conference on solutions to address climate change. In the fall, Ushuaia, of course, but TF1 will offer many themes to include and involve the general public to in international negotiations on climate change. And the advertising agency is also involved. It started its new label with the responsible consumption. So that's the business for H1. It was a bit lengthy, but it was well worth it. Now I'll give the floor to Philippe Denery, whom you're all waiting for, and he'll give you the financial results. Philippe?
Thank you, Nance. First half year, the group's consolidated revenue was 981 million euro, down 45 million. This was entirely due to a scope of consolidation effects or simulated. Subsequent to the sale on March 31st of Eurosport France, the company was deconsolidated in the second quarter compared with the 17.2 million euro it generated in revenue in the second quarter of last year. Elsewhere, OneCast, which was sold at the end of October 2014, and Stylia, which was closed down at the end of the year, represented respectively 4.9 and 1.8 million euros in the first half of 2014. Finally, in the second quarter of 2014, Group TF1 booked 30 million euros from the sale of to beIN Sports of broadcasting rights on the 2014 FIFA World Cup. When we factor out the previous effects, the aforesaid effects, the group's revenue rose 0.9% in the first half of 2015. Now, over the first 6 months of the year, the group's advertising revenue was up 0.6%. Advertising revenue on the four free-to-air channels rose 1.7% to 733 million euro in the first half of the year. After an increase of 3.2% in the first quarter, advertising revenue rose another 0.4% in the second quarter of 2015. In appraising this performance, one must remember that there were no major sports events in the first half of the year, unlike the first half of 2014, and that major programming investments have been made by all channels in the French audiovisual landscape. These results demonstrate the relevance of the group's multi-channel strategy. In gross investment, healthcare and travel and tourism performed particularly well, while retailing, food and beverage, hygiene and beauty care also progressed. Automotive, transport, finance and telecommunications were down. Other advertising revenue in the broadcasting and content segment were down 5.3 million euro. The decline in advertising revenue at Metro News was only partly offset by the increase in advertising revenue at ETF1. Looking at the breakdown by sector, we will see that content saw its revenue decline due to the selling on of the World Cup broadcasting rights for 30 million euro last year. Consumer services saw their revenue increase thanks to TF1 Video, which had the opportunity of buying all rights for certain films, including movie theater releases. Pay TV was down 17.4 million euros, largely due to the deconsolidation of Eurosport France from the second quarter onwards and the discontinuation of the Stylia theme channel at year-end. Finally, the revenue in the holding company and other segment was generated by OneCast. Cost of programs was down sharply by 52.4 million euro. Maybe I should remind you that in the first half of last year, the FIFA World Cup cost us, net of programs replaced, 43.9 million euro. If you prefer, 55.7 million euro for the cost of matches broadcast, offset by the 11.8 million euro that we saved on the programs that we replaced. Now, if we factor this out, cost of programs was down 8.5 million euro in the first half year, 2015. After a first quarter that was up 13.1 million, the cost of programs fell 21.6 million euro in the second half year. That's not including the World Cup effect. In the first half year, we contained the cost of our programs with great flexibility, particularly by anticipating the broadcasting of the Rugby World Cup and the broadcasting in the second half year of a number of major programs for the group that Nance will elaborate on shortly. Other income and expenses were improved by 68 million euros when restated to factor out the proceeds from the deconsolidation of Eurosport France and the World Cup broadcasting rights, which were subsequently sold in the first half of 2014. This increased slightly when restated net of provisions written back. This increase was mainly due to staff costs for the half year, up because of the efforts made in improving productivity. Overall, current operating income rose 75.6 million euro to 97.3 million, which gives us a current operating margin of 9.9%. In the second quarter, the current operating income was 69.2 million euro, or a margin over the quarter of 13.7 million euro. You'll see that 11.9 million euro were booked to other operating expenses. This corresponds to the cost of restructuring the group's news division. These costs were mainly due to the discontinuation of the paper version of Metro News. At the end of June, the operating profit was 85.4 million euro. That's a 63.7 million euro increase over the same period last year. As regards performance by segment, operating income from content was down. 2014, this benefited from the film "Qu'est-ce qu'on a fait au bon Dieu?" Operating profit in consumer services was down fractionally due to the development of TF1 Video and teleshopping. Finally, the operating income of pay TV includes the result of the deconsolidation of Eurosport France and the improved profitability of the group's theme channels. At the end of June 2015, net income from recurring activities was up 48 million euros. Just for the record, last year, we recorded a 293.8 million capital gain net of tax from the sale of Discovery, to Discovery rather, of our controlling stake in Eurosport. Of course, net income for Eurosport International from January to May was a total of 16.4 million euro. At the end of June, the net cash situation was 308 million euros after payment of a dividend totaling 317 million euros.
Thank you, Philippe. Here are a few items to guide you for the second half of the year. First of all, in spite, well, we have many assets, but we have to remember that we are in a position which is unique. In spite of the strong pressure from competition, especially other television groups that are investing a lot, there are synergies that are growing between our channels, between the channels and digital and MyTF1, and between the channels themselves. There are new unique opportunities of exposure, with TF1 being the only channel to offer high-value screens. We have well-known know-how, recognized know-how, with well-trained, well-seasoned teams that combine both youth and experience. As you know, we can adapt. We've done it well. We have to adapt to developments both internally and externally. We have many partnerships with very promising relations with great U.S. and European players. Of course, you know about our financial structure. These assets are essential for our business, but also for future developments. In the coming months, we'll continue our strategy strategy, namely strengthen our leadership on free-to-air TV with strong, high-value quality programs while adapting to new needs and users of both our advertising clients but also our viewers, especially with off-the-grid viewing. And we should also take new growth opportunities either alone or in partnerships, depending on what shows up. And then regarding our advertising revenue, you have to remain cautious. Of course, we have seen some development in investment in the H1, but that we'll see whether this continues. At this stage, it's still rather tepid, and so we will have to develop our high-value screens, and in H2 we'll have a very powerful programs on the channel. Of course, the Rugby World Cup will be the big event of 2015. TF1 will have the opening ceremonies, the closing ceremonies, 21 games, including 8 in prime time, especially for the weekend, and so that will make very powerful ratings and high-value screens for our advertisers. We also have rights for multi-screen operations and exploitation. We have a dedicated MyTF1 site, a digital magazine, as well as the experience of live broadcasting, which is pretty much very much part of our know-how. The audiences for this event were exceptional in the past. In 2011, the World Cup in New Zealand, and so unusual schedule for the French, still brought in as many as 15.4 million viewers. 2007, the World Cup, which took place in France, in Wales, and in Scotland, brought in as many as 18.3 million viewers for the semi-final, France versus England. And the rest of our program, especially TF1, will be extremely powerful with such strong brands as Danse avec les Stars, Profilard, Blacklist, The Voice Kids, Miss France, and the Energy Music Awards. And we'll have a new event series, No Second Chance, with whose showrunner is none other than Harlan Coben himself. Regarding our DTT channels, we are developing the editorial identity of each and every one of them in line with that of TF1. The new synergies between our channels show that you can put forward our own programs, some of them more specialized than those of TF1, but still with a real gain in terms of channel identity and special targeting for these channels. And then we will continue developing the news cluster of the group, and that means modernizing our news broadcast. We'll have a new set, new editorial decisions, and we're completing the digital transition of Metro News, and then we're working hard on making sure that LCI will be free to air. And more generally, our group will mark its difference in coming months with a new tone, open to a broader audience, a younger audience, with a better complementarity between television and digital. And then we'll work hard at finding new growth opportunities with a view of creating more value without giving way to haste or fashion or trends or one-upmanship, that would be silly. We're working hard on being reasonable, but we want to have good demands, especially for our shopping channel. In all areas, we will invest with a view to ensure stability and sustainability. Of course, we want to provide news and entertainment. For news, LCI free-to-air is our objective. DTT is for news as well. And the second aspect, entertainment, we're working on shows, music, games, licenses, and VOD, which is a positive outlook for the future. That's what we had to say about H1 in coming months, but now we're here to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, you need to dial 01 on your keypad, telephone keypad. The first question is from Lisa Young of Goldman Sachs. Good evening. I have several questions. My first question concerns the advertising trends that you've observed. I was just wondering why you were a little bit cautious about this. You see advertising revenue being flat. Maybe you could tell us a bit more about July or what you expect for August. Maybe if you could cast some light on why you're being so cautious. Secondly, how do you see TF1's performance if the market as a whole is flat, given the given the synergies you're getting with the Rugby World Cup and the your common platforms? Do you think you will continue on the existing trends? Finally, programming costs, the savings you achieved of, is it 8.1 million? And to what extent are these savings recurring savings? I think it was 900 or more over the year, 906 million if I remember correctly. Could you comment on that?
Thank you. Well, the advertising trends for the year are pretty, well, that's pretty difficult to ascertain now. You know that media agencies have their own forecasts, and they vary, they're different from our own. What we do find today is that H1 is slightly up. There are signs of recovery, but that has yet to be confirmed. We find ourselves in this sort of touch-and-go situation where we have to manage this day-to-day very much in line with the confidence of entrepreneurs. But what we can say about July, well, it's pretty difficult to compare July 2014 and July 2015 because you have to remember that we had the seven best games at the Football Cup in July 2014 and we haven't got that in 2015. So that makes a significant difference in terms of ratings, in terms of audiences, but also in terms of revenue. You can also expect a difference. Having said that, you have to remember that Q3 2014 was significantly up compared with the previous year. And if we look at the outlook for August, we can see that the signs are positive. And I should like to emphasize the fact that as at end of August and beginning of September, TF1 will have a very sound programming offer with the beginning, of course, of the Rugby World Cup in September with as many as six games. These are pool games, but they're nonetheless very attractive games. And let me also point out that, as you saw earlier in my presentation, there are a number of high-value content programs which will be shown. And I'm pretty optimistic in terms of ratings. On advertising revenue, well, I'm like many others. I'm reasonably optimistic, but there are signs of recovery, and that will, to a large extent, determine the future of the advertising market. But TF1 itself, the flagship channel, has a sound program on offer, but that's all we can say so far. Regarding the cost of programs, as you know, one of the main objectives for many years now is to keep these costs under control. Our objective is to keep that cost around, what, 945 million euros annually with a 20 million euro buffer, which can be used for capital expenditure or other. I mean, we're not there to invest at all costs. Others will do this in our stead. We have sound and solid programs, and we intend to keep that cost under control.
What about TF1 compared to the market as a whole?
Well, again, I cannot tell you about the performance in H2. I mean, when we have Q3 behind us, we have some a better idea. And, of course, Q4 we'll know better.
Could I just ask another small question? TF1's audience figures have deteriorated this year. I just wondering what the impact of this was on your revenue in Q2. Have you been granting discount to agencies? How did you perform in Q2?
Well, look, let me remind you that on Q2 you had again the Football World Cup, and without that, well, there's a huge audience differential. You also have to remember, just because you have some uncertainty on our programs that likewise the competitors, this doesn't mean that we're going down. Right now our ratings are under control, and we think in terms of the group, of course TF1 is the flagship channel, and we are way ahead of our closest competitor, but we also are a group of channels, and you have NT1 that has grown remarkably, including on advertising, and so these channels complete one another to build up our business as a group, and that's where we're headed.
Marianne Saint-Hilaire from Morgan Stanley, you have the floor.
Good evening, Nance. Good evening, Philippe. Thank you for taking the time to answer our questions. Firstly, regarding the closing down and reorganization of Metro News, could you give us an order of magnitude as regards the cost savings that can be expected in the first and the second half year and in 2016? My second question is that yesterday you announced the sale of Eurosport. Can you give us any information on how you intend to use the proceeds from this sale? My third question, Nance, you mentioned acquisitions. I see your counterparts in Germany, the UK, or Scandinavia are very active in digital and in content. What conclusions can you draw from that?
Well, thank you, Adrien. Regarding Metro News, we made that decision to address the Metro News challenge. It was now pretty clear that it was not going to bring in any income, and in fact it was incurring losses, especially the print version of Metro News, because the free newspapers market is just doomed. And so we are now laying off our staff, and that is why we have these one-off charges that you must have seen in our accounts. But what you have to keep in mind today is that we still keep the digital platform of Metro News, and that's a promising one. First, in editorial terms, it's very successful. It's way up at the head of the of all apps, and then of course, Mighty F1 will offer synergies, or at least will go meet nicely with Metro News, and so we'll see how it translates economically. But at least operationally, it should work out. Regarding Eurosport, of course, people are always concerned about the way in which, well, when we sold off our stake in Eurosport, people want to know, what are you going to do with the money, they say. Well, we haven't got the cash yet. It will come in the months to come. And maybe Philippe can say a few words about our agreement with Eurosport. I mean, Philippe was the negotiator of the deal, but we did exactly what we're supposed to do. That is, we have an agreement with Discovery to sell our 49% stake. Philippe?
Just to complete that, well, given Discovery's strategy, particularly in terms of investment, and given the difficulty in creating value with the Discovery Channel itself and Eurosport, we decided to exercise our option, which was on the basis of a price fractionally above the previous sale. So at the start of Q1, we should close out this deal and receive the amounts corresponding to our 49% stake.
Acquisitions, what I said in my presentation was that we are not going to give way to trends or undue competition to be pressurized into acquiring anything. When we want to build a company, we are looking at the long term. Of course, we're looking at digital companies, but what we find along the way in terms of digital companies is not exactly, it's not necessarily business creating, and so we only want to forge partnerships with people with whom we can work in the long term, to have sound and solid partnerships, value-creating partnerships for the group. So that can make a difference for programming. We could find a new way of selling advertising time to expand our footprint. We can also look at content. But regarding content, you have to remember that we've done a lot of hard work already with pretty unique formats. I mean, people think we're simply going to buy up a production company. But if we look at the agreement with RTL, NBC Universal, that, by the way, is an agreement that's working out extremely well. And in January, we will have to make decisions as to which projects we're going to go ahead with. We're going to invest in content in partnership with RTL and NBC. I mean, we'll share both costs, risk and revenue, looking at a series to be sold on the US market but also on the French market. So that's something that's shaping up right now. Regarding production, we are now involved in animation. Mini Ninjas is now being developed for TV. It's for kids, but it's already profitable, and we have other projects that are being rolled out as we speak. Now, just to be clear about this, and what we're trying to do in terms of acquisitions and partnerships, we're not, again, we're not going along with the flow and buying left, right, and center. We looked at a number of possible deals. Nothing was really convincing, and so we are keeping our eyes peeled. There might, together with Philip, we're looking around, and maybe we might end up doing something on our own, develop new businesses, either in terms of content or advertising.
Thank you very much for these answers. The next question is from Jérôme Baudin from Natixis. You have the floor, sir. Good evening. I have three questions, if I may. First question concerns the cost of programs. If you could elaborate on that and tell us if there's any... how do you explain the decline in the Q2 by comparison with Q3 and what you anticipate for Q3? Secondly, you talked about organic development. I'm thinking of rights in particular, Tefu Max, for instance. I was just wondering if this is a business that is exportable. I don't know if you have sufficient rights to operate a platform outside of France. Just wondering if there were any opportunities in digital in this area. And my final question concerns the agreement with Discovery. In 2012, you mentioned the possibility of partnerships in content with Discovery. I'm just wondering if there's still any ties with the group and if you plan any cooperation despite the disposal of Eurosport.
Well, regarding the cost of programs, the way it works is not that we save money in Q1 and then spend it in Q3. That's not the way it works. We'll have strong programs, but the programs will kept, the cost will be kept under control in Q3 and Q4. We, of course, have the Rugby World Cup, and that's part of the budget. And there's a budget for all our channels, especially TF1. On our organic growth, you talked about acquisitions, by the way, but I mean we have our own growth. Tefu Max is something rather unique. The rights are only for the French market right now, but we have a very unique offer. I mean, there's parental guidance. There's we can depending on the age of children, there's some screening there. There are about 80,000 subscribers. We have arrangements with Orange, the phone company, and that's being worked out. Now, there are a number of possible options. We won't necessarily stick to the French territory, but we could have niche offers that could be sent elsewhere, that could be make the content profitable. But with Tefu Max now, we're very happy with the way it's working, and we don't have any financial constraints. Regarding Discovery, the partnership with Discovery, that's an interesting story because... Well, there were many exchanges with Discovery, especially on the developments and new modes of consumption, especially in the U.S., new business models, the TV business models. That has, of course, guided our thinking on the matter. Now, on content production, we've discussed this, but nothing has happened yet. Well, that's part of the territory. It comes with the territory. We don't know for sure. There were a few programs, Ushuaia and Histoire, are special cases, but maybe there will be other opportunities to work with Discovery. But just because we sold at 49% doesn't mean that we have lost contacts with Discovery. There were many exchanges during that time. Of course, there was a transfer of know-how in terms of sporting rights from Eurosport, but Discovery is a fast learner, so they don't really need our advice anymore. Still, we have ongoing contacts with them, and we have reason to believe that the future holds good developments with them.
Next question is from Charles Boudouin from Exane. Good evening, Nance. Good evening, Philippe. I have three questions, please. My first question concerns the cost of programs. You were very clear about the grid and the buffer. Could you tell me if you intend to use some or all of that buffer this year? That's my first question. My second question concerns cash flow, particularly in terms of working capital, was particularly good. Will we lose that advance? Is there an explanation? I imagine there is. And my third question concerns regulations that you qualified as imperfect but improvable. Without preempting the changes that haven't yet taken place, could you tell us what the industry is currently considering, or how you foresee things over the next few quarters or even years for that matter?
On our programming costs, we do have a buffer. We may or may not use it right now. We don't propose to use that buffer, but one never knows. We make decisions maybe not on a day-to-day basis, but we do see how things are shaping up, what opportunities are showing up. And at this stage, we don't have a definite answer, but we might or might not use that buffer. That's all we can say. Regarding cash flow, well, that's a question for Philippe.
Yes, the good performance with cash flow was due partly to our concern about managing our cash well, but between now and the end of the year, there will be outflows, if only for sports broadcasting rights, and of course, fluctuations because of our stock of programs, but the performance in the first half year isn't something that we can extrapolate to the second half of the year. We'll continue to manage cash as best we can. We'll keep a close eye on cash flow, but there's no reason to believe that the second half year will be identical to the first half.
And on regulation, you asked about this. Well, I said that regulation is has imperfections. There are some developments regarding co-production, some provisions we're not happy with, especially regarding mandates given to producers. We're not very happy with that. But the work we're doing now with the ministry, but also the talks we're having with producers, tend to arrive at the better balance between broadcasters and producers. We want a better balance because right now we would like to replace our OPEX in drama into CAPEX, and that is not just for this sort of content, and right now it's just money out of pocket, and there's also the relationship between independent producers and dependent producers. The French regulation now is in favor of independent producers to the tune of 75%. That's a ratio compared with the dependent producers, that is those that work for a TV company, and without having to take a stake in a company, we can simply have an agreement to co-produce drama films, would mean that suddenly we would go over the 75% threshold and lose lots of money again. And we're just not happy with that. So we're talking with producers to arrive at a fair balance, and that's what we're aiming at. For film, we have ongoing contacts with professional unions. We have agreements with Canal and Orange, and so with TF1, there are such agreements, and now we want to have a better economic balance between production companies and ourselves.
Next question is from Julia Rock from Exane. You have the floor, sir. Yeah, good evening, Julia from Barclays.
question about the cash from the Eurosport disposal. North, I know you said you haven't received it yet, but you gave us information regarding potential investment in content and digital. But you didn't mention any payback to shareholders. I was just wondering if that's something you're considering or not considering at all. And a follow-up on Charles's question, your intent to contentions regarding independent and non-independent producers. What kind of signals is the government sending out? Do you feel this is feasible or not? Or is it, I think we've been talking about this for about a quarter of a century already.
Well, it's nice to bring up this point of history, and I mean, I'll still be around for a while to talk about this, but about this, everybody is well aware that funding a film through our historical channels, the legacy channels are those that are paying. It's not the DTT channels that are paying for film production in France. Even though you have changes in ratings, you still have the same business model as to who pays for film production in France, and that has to be redistributed fairly. And so we're expecting a new round of regulations on the regulation on film production, and we certainly hope that we arrive at a favorable result, favorable for all. It's just rebalancing. We're not trying to punish someone and unduly favor someone else. We want to have a fair system that would be agreeable to all. Now, regarding the cash that we haven't received yet, as you know, eventually last year we were able to get some cash, and some of it was paid out to shareholders. Of course, it's the board of directors that decides. The board of directors acts responsibly and have every reason to trust its decisions.
Thank you. Next question is from Bruno Aron from ODDO. You have the floor, sir. Yes, good evening, everybody. You've answered most of my questions, but I have one left. Could you come back for a second regarding 2016? I know it's well ahead of us, but a few words about the outlay on Euro 2016. My understanding was your commitment was broadcasting rights for 25 million, the same as beIN Sport and others. If you could confirm those figures, and as it will take place in France, I imagine that the arrangements will be quite exceptional. Can you expect considerable extra outlay, extra expense?
Good evening, Bruno. 2016, well, of course, there will be the Euro Games, but what you have to remember is that, well, the costs are under better control. There are three batches. You have MC's TF1 have two of the lots, and there's one lot that has yet to be still up for grabs, as it were. And I believe that public television will make an offer. I don't know who will eventually get a hold of this for the Euro, but since there are several lots, of course, the Euro is being divided up between these between different channels. Regarding the mechanism, because the Euro Games will take place in front, TF1 will have its own editorial policy, and so these editorial arrangements will be ambitious. I mean, TF1 has made a specialty of sporting editorials, and that will make it very attractive both for our audiences and, of course, for our advertisers. We'll let you know more when things shape up more specifically. In any case, we're delighted that we were able to purchase that lot. M6 bought the other one, but for both M6 and ourselves, the money was well spent.
Thank you. The next question is from Conor O'Shea from Chevreux. Yes, good evening. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Three small questions, probably for Philippe. First of all, could
Could you give us figures for the first quarter for Delphi, if I heard you correctly? Secondly, regarding Metro News, you've written back a 12 million euro provision. Is there a proportional effect on that? Third question. Could you comment the level of revenue relating to the Negro 23 and TF1's advertising agency, which should cease to exist due to the sale that has yet to be confirmed, of course? Okay, regarding LCI, the loss of revenue should be similar this year. In the first half year, I think it was approximately 50% of what we expect over the full year. Concerning Metro, yes, we booked provisions for the restructuring of our news division and necessarily for Metro as well. We don't expect any losses in the second half year. Sorry, we do expect a loss, but the loss will be smaller than the loss we recorded in the first half year. But over the full year, and for the last time, the Metro loss will be similar to last year, possibly, hopefully, slightly less than last year. We are, however, restructuring and adapting as we go along, so the loss is built into the operating revenue of broadcasting. Regarding numero 23, not much we can say. There's a contract that is in force, and it will remain in force until a decision is taken regarding the change of a shareholder. Or depending on what decision is taken, the contract will continue to apply. It's still in force. Okay, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. We will now take questions in English.
We have a question in English from Mr. Laurie Davidson, Deutsche Bank. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. It's Laurie Davidson here from Deutsche. First question was just on your 945 million programming cost guidance, excluding the buffer. Does that include or exclude the Rugby World Cup? Second question is, you mentioned potentially internal investment projects as a use of the Eurosport proceeds. What exactly do you mean there? Can you shed any more light on that? Thank you.
Of the 945 million plus the 20 million buffer on the cost of programs, well, as we've always said, that it does include the Rugby World Cup. Your second question concerned organic investment and the way we would use the proceeds from the sale internally. Well, obviously, there are a number of what we call organic developments that should require financial means, either to develop the business, as we've done in the past, or will entail internal costs for technical developments or possibly the acquisition of rights. So when we entered into our agreement with NBC, Universal and RTL, when we enter into these agreements, we will be investing in production. So we will need financial means to invest in content. This isn't an acquisition of a company, but these are nonetheless investments that have to be made. Likewise, if LCI were to become a free-to-air, yes, we would need to invest, be it in technical terms or for our projects, and either way, this would require upfront investments if we are to develop the business. If you want to develop the business for future purposes.
One word, if I may, if I look at the investment TFU and the new Mighty F1, that capital expenditure was made as part of a well-controlled budget, and that did not jeopardize, as it were, the finances of TF1. And so we know how to keep our costs under control, both for our projects internally or with subcontractors. And of course, in terms of objectives, we have sound financial objectives.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from Chris Yonan, HSBC. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, guys, for taking my questions. First, again, sorry about the cash use. I get the board comment. I think in the past you said that you considered the roughly 65% return that we saw last year as a reasonable thing. Is that still the case for you personally as far as the 65% is concerned? And then related to that, maybe you could talk a bit about your current M&A pipeline and in particular, you know, the size of potential things you may or may not be looking at. That would be the first question. Second, on the impact from, or basically the revenue impact from Media for Revenue, is there any sort of indication you can give us, maybe a range of the size of revenues that were coming in from Media for Revenue deals, in particular in H1? That would be helpful. And then regarding the comments that you've made, or the slide that suggests on the technology side, you're looking at, you know, supporting changes in content consumption habits and advertising sales methods. Could you be a bit more specific on, you know, what that implies? Are you talking about potential interest in programmatic ad platforms? Yeah, that'll be my question. Thank you.
Well, on the last question on programming, well, we look at this very carefully because everybody knows that we're looking at new technologies for the future. And so maybe some companies that specialize in that sort of technology analyzing viewership of advertising, but we were thinking of working with Mediaset to see whether we can do this on our own, develop our own technology, or go through or work with another company. So as I was saying, we could do this alone or in partnerships. And what was the second question again? Philip.
No, on the payout, no, we haven't got a ratio engraved in marble. I'd say that the analysis depends on the amount of cash available and by comparison with the net income generated and plus capital gains that were in the figures last year, but not this year. We can't include that every year, so there is a cash impact. I don't think we should over-focus on the 65% you've mentioned. Let's say it's not engraved in marble. As for Media for Equity or Media for Revenue, it wasn't very significant in the first half year. These were small transactions that we will continue to carry out, but the proportion will be much smaller than a number of our partners elsewhere in Europe, so not very significant, but we're very satisfied with what we've done to date.
I can also add that we had an operation in France, with a number of very successful operations in France, but our thinking is to bring in, through Media for Equity, we want to bring in new players on TV advertising, and it's working. Here we have players who initially wouldn't consider this, but if they can be successful, well, of course, they become attracted. And by the way, when you have pure players consider that TV is effective, but very often you can find that new forms or new players can make a difference. Now, we can learn from others. You know that our specialty is to provide content, and if we work with partners, well, some attempts were made at forging partnerships. Some of them worked.
The last question as regards the M&A pipeline. Well, as you know, we're working on content and digital, and each of these areas has its own particularities. In content, for instance, we will be looking at catalogs or formats, that type of issue, which is consistent with announcements we've already made. This is something we continue to do. In the digital, the environment is somewhat different, and I'm sure Nance will add to what I'm going to say. But I think we're really looking at digital inventory, fields of technology, such as platforms for the advertising or media selling agency, but also content consumption, content push, or even web-related matters. The environment in this area is more complex for us. These are more complex companies. Very often they're startups, or if not, companies that are growing very rapidly. They're based on capital structures and management of a particular nature, very often with the founders still at the helm. So as we said earlier on, we're looking at this over time, but I think very often the founders don't always take the same approach. They take a different approach to us.
Yes, yeah, so put it in another way, we can be opportunistic when looking at opportunities, but we don't want to be short-sighted and sell for prey to people who simply want to make a quick buck. We make these deals only if we find it worth our while. I mean, if we look at content more to the point, well, here we have a small group of people who came up with new content, and in the beauty, cosmetics, and cooking, they are creating interesting programs. The humor content is also very novel, very refreshing, and so we can discreetly work with new players, and we can see if it works. We can promote a new generation of talent, which can be brought to the fore, brought into the fold, rather, of the main channel. So we can be very open to this, but you cannot see eye to eye with all company makers.
Thank you. We have a next question from Catherine O'Neill, Citi. Madam, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I've just got one question on TMC and NT1 sort of coming into the group. You talked quite a lot about there being synergies there, and especially as we go into 2016. I wondered if you could give us any more specific details on what level of synergies you expect this to create. I think you said you would provide a bit more guidance at the first half results.
There are two types of synergies we can have with NT1, or three types of synergies with NT1 and HD1. Between the various channels of the group, I gave you the example earlier on, and this will be very much in the coming months. We have a flagship program for young female audience success story, and that will be shown on a daily basis on NT1 and on a weekly basis on TF1, and so you can see the connection between the two channels. That's synergies in terms of programs, but there's another kind of synergy, and that's with the new MyTF1, because on MyTF1, and that's the digital media, we have the four free-to-air channels are there, and people watch it because people like to see DTC program, but also NT1 and HD1 as well as TF1. People can watch replay programs. They can as well as MCN and cross. Production means that people can watch, can see adverts for programs on one channel being shown on another channel, and that helps a lot. But we, of course, TF1 has a historical position on the advertising market. We cannot make a different offer between TF1 offers and NT1 or HD1 offers, because now it's the same advertising agency. So where do we stand? Of course, we have to stick to the contracts and the regulations imposed by the competition authority. What we do, we share practices, we share lots of information, because the back office is pooling, as it were, all that information, and now for TNC and NT1 we can have access to much more comprehensive information, much sounder information. And it means we know more about our customers, or we know more about a broader portfolio of customers. But we're not going to sell customers to channels that have no business with them. So we have to navigate the right balance. We have a portfolio of channels. We have our theme channels on top of that, and that adds more commercial power to the channels of TNC and NT1, TMC and NT1. So that's the sort of synergies we're talking about. We do find results right now. Things are looking up now. The sales conditions have to be harmonized for the future, and that's where you can see how we can do things consistently from one channel to the next using one agency. But as we say in French, should do it.
Thank you. We've no other questions for the moment. Well, in that case, thank you for your attention. Thank you for taking the trouble to ask all these questions. Maybe one parting word. As you've seen, and I'm sure we'll be capitalizing on this very soon, you've seen just how relevant our multi-channel strategy is. We have good control over our audience levels. When I say good control, that means that we can adapt to circumstances and keep ahead of our main competitor or competitors. We are determined to continue to invest in content, in programs, and in digital. But if I may say so once again, with the idea in mind of ensuring profitability and sustainability. Finally, we are capable of taking risks, broadcasting, of course, but we're also very capable of adapting internally with ambitions for digital, with LCI. Certainly, I'm quite sure this will all materialize in the forthcoming months. So thank you for your attention. Thank you for giving us your time and interest. I wish you all a very happy holiday period. Thank you.